Well, let me encourage you to open your Bible at this passage that we read earlier from Isaiah chapter 6. I wonder, do you ever feel as is portrayed in that little image? Sigh, there goes another summer. And, well, the summer season, holiday season, is pretty much over. We're not forecasting bad weather or anything, but you know what I mean. We're here, and it is the 1st of September. And I do hope that you have had a good summer. Yet, as I've already indicated, there can, I'm sure that many of you can identify with this, there can be that, what I call that end of summer, start of autumn hump that sometimes can be a little bit difficult to get over. The new season looms before us. Are you feeling uninspired? Are you motivated for the new season, the new term that lies before you? Well, the truth of the matter is that there would be a range of feelings in a congregation of this size. Some will be saying, yes, I'm ready for it. And others will be saying, well, now that you mention it, there is a bit of a hump that I'm struggling to get over and all the rest of it. How can we be inspired and motivated for the new term that lies ahead of us? And I suppose really what I want to say today is that the key to that question actually lies not out there, but in here. The key to being motivated and inspired under God lies not outside, but inside, in our own hearts. You want to be motivated? Well, can I invite you this morning to listen, as I know you will, as we think a little bit about this passage from Isaiah chapter 6. It's a very famous passage, written, of course, by the prophet Isaiah, way back a long time ago. And yet the relevance of the Word of God is that because it is the Word of God, even though it was penned way back in the 8th century BC, at the time that King Uzziah died, it is still relevant for today in the 21st century. And there are three or four simple things that I just want to draw to your attention this morning that hopefully will inspire you and me, motivate all of us as we step out into a new term. We see here in this passage Isaiah having a fresh view or a fresh vision of God. And in particular, it's the holiness of God that he comes face to face with in these first three verses. You may remember that catechism question, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. And we have a picture in this passage here of the holiness of God. I saw the Lord in the year that King Uzziah died. In a sense, it was a situation that would have caused people to be saddened, to be depressed, to be uninspired. And in the midst of all that might cause us to be uninspired and not motivated in life, Isaiah reminds us, I saw the Lord. And in many, many ways, folks, I could stop there. Of course, I will not. But in many, many ways, those four little words, I saw the Lord, is the key thought to what I am seeking to bring forward this morning. The key to your being motivated and inspired afresh to go out into your home, your work life, your family life, your church life, I saw the Lord. To see the Lord afresh, anew, in a way that will touch our hearts. And Isaiah sees the Lord. And he sees this amazing vision of God and the angels and the seraphs surrounding him. And they are covering their faces. Imagine that. These amazing, angelic, heavenly beings, they cover their faces. Because they are in the presence of an awesome, holy, majestic God. How much more ought we to cover our faces and to bow our hearts before God? I know that I have quoted this before from John Piper. Let me read it to you. The people that make a durable difference in the world. Do you want to make a difference? The people that make a durable difference in the world are not the people who have mastered many things, but who have been mastered by one great thing. If you want your life to count, if you want the ripple effect of the pebbles you drop to become waves that reach the ends of the earth and roll on into eternity, you don't need to have a high IQ. You don't have to have good looks or riches or come from a fine family or a fine school. Instead, you have to have a few fine, majestic, unchanging, obvious, simple, glorious things, or one great, all-embracing thing, and be set on fire by them. And folks, in this passage, we have one great embracing truth. It is the holiness of God, and to come into a situation in life to actually see the Lord in a fresh and new way and to be utterly changed by it. The significance in this passage of the holiness of God being repeated three times. It's a way of emphasizing. Young people, sorry to mention the fact that you will be, many of you, returning to school soon. But there's no getting away from it now on the 1st of September. And you will know that whenever you're sitting in your classroom or at home trying to learn something, that if there's something really important, one of the things that you might do is to underline it, or to take out your highlighter and to highlight it, or to put a big star beside it. Don't forget this. And that's what's happening here in Isaiah chapter 6. Holy, holy, holy. It's actually the only time in Scripture, in the whole of the Bible, that a characteristic of God is mentioned three times in succession. God is holy. God is holy. God is holy. Recently, I was reading of a situation where apparently some people dropped out of church because they found it boring. Well, obviously, they hadn't thought much about the holiness of God. They maybe were people, as sometimes happens, who go to a church and say, well, there's nothing for me here. I didn't feel this, I didn't feel that. And it's really all about them. But it's not about us. It's about God. To see him for who he is. His awesome glory and splendor. To bow our hearts and our lives before him in worship and adoration. Worship really begins when we catch a glimpse of the holiness of God. A fresh view of God, is that what you need today? Beginning of a new term? I suspect it is. A fresh view of yourself we also need. It's interesting that in this passage, as Isaiah comes face to face with the holiness and the majesty and the splendor of God. Notice his response. It's not, if I can characterize what some people today might think of saying, wow, or that's cool. No, no. Nothing like that. Woe to me. I am ruined. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. And how we need that today, don't we, folks? We need this in the church today, not only to see the awesomeness of God, but to see ourselves as we really are. We live in a society, don't we, that is full of people, and we see this in our own hearts. Our society, our Western society today, is characterized by people who have a very, very high opinion of themselves. We are a very self-centered, selfish nation, taken up with ourselves. And we tend to see ourselves as being wonderful. How far removed from this passage where we need to see ourselves before the holiness of God as being sinful and rebellious people. Jeremiah 17, a very famous text, the heart is deceitful above all things, and that includes your heart as it does mine. I wonder, do you see that today? I wonder, are you willing to acknowledge that your heart is deceitful and wicked above all things? It really is. You may not believe it. You may not be willing to admit it. That's the pride in your own heart that will stop you from doing it. But it's only actually as we come to see it as true that we can begin to see a change in our lives. A fresh glimpse of God's glory brings a fresh glimpse of ourselves. Our sinful, wicked hearts, our own clean lips. A fresh view of yourself. But let me move on to what I want to say, because I want you to think about, not only in this passage do we see Isaiah having a fresh view of God and a fresh view of himself, but he receives a fresh touch from God. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. And here in the middle of the Old Testament, we come to Christ. We have the gospel. We have Christ crucified and risen right here in the middle of Isaiah chapter 6. Because who is it that can touch our lips and our lives and our hearts and change us and cleanse us and atone for us? It is none other than Jesus Christ himself. And if you're here this morning and you have never actually personally come to Jesus Christ for salvation, then here is the challenge. Isaiah comes and recognizes the greatness of God, the sinfulness of his own heart, and then he receives this touch from the Lord. What better time can I say to you, man or woman or young person? The summer is ended. The harvest may not be gathered in, but you are still not saved. What better time than the 1st of September 2013 to give your life and heart truly to Christ? To get off the fence and stop thinking about what someone else will say and to commit your life to him. And if you are a Christian, as many here are, that is the profession we make, then the truth is that we cannot have the luxury of sitting back and saying, well, I hope such and such is listening to this, because there's a message here for you as well. Because this is what we all need. We all need again and again to be coming back to God, to be coming back to Christ, to be day by day receiving that fresh touch and that cleansing and that anointing of God. It is only then that we, as we will see in a moment, that we are enabled to step out in service. Isaiah sees the Lord. He sees himself. He sees his need of a touch from the Lord, and he receives that touch. And he goes out into service. Can I say to you, professing Christian here this morning, this is why I said at the beginning of this sermon that the key to being inspired and motivated for the term that lies ahead does not lie out there, but it lies in here. And if ever there was a time of the year when you and I need to be stepping back and taking time out to wait upon the Lord, it is now, at the beginning of a new term. Tell me, how are you going to be inspired and motivated and enthused to do what you have to do over these coming months if that doesn't come from God? I'll tell you what will happen. You will not only continue, if you do not know that fresh touch, to be uninspired and unmotivated, you will eventually run out of steam. And you will drop out. I'm not saying you're dropping out of the Christian life or anything like that, of course. But you will say, I can't do this. And none of us could do it if we don't receive that touch from the Lord. That is the truth of the matter. You will see, and I'm not going to spend time on this, but do look at it later today in the bulletin. And it's such a small thing, isn't it? 7 minutes with God. Part of me is almost embarrassed to put it there, lest someone have the impression that's all we give to God, 7 minutes. Of course, that's not what it's about. You know that. And yet the truth of the matter is that over these past weeks, over these summer weeks, some of us have gone through many, many days, and it hasn't been 7 minutes with God, it's actually been 0 minutes with God. Is that not true? It is true. I know your heart, because I know my heart. So let us be encouraged. This is not meant to be a sermon that will knock you down. It might knock you down, but hopefully it will lift you up. Here's my point. When we are touched on the inside, and to be touched on the inside, we need to spend time with God. There is no escaping that. You will not be touched by God if you do not take time out to be with God. And the point is that when we are touched on the inside, we are motivated for the outside. When we are inspired and anointed by God, then we are ready for action. And that is what we see as I come to the end of this message. But don't turn off yet. There is a fresh obedience. Let me say a couple of things and then I finish. Some of you will remember that old rendering of 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. In the words of the old version, take heed unto thyself. Take heed unto thyself. C.H. Spurgeon, prince of preachers, when he was giving lectures to his students, he often used to quote Richard Baxter. You say, who was Richard Baxter? Well, Richard Baxter was and is quite a famous Christian leader from many years ago, and Richard Baxter used to often say to those around him, to his colleagues and to his congregation, take heed to yourselves first and foremost. If any of you are interested in reading a little bit about this, there's a very excellent book by a man called Peter Brain. He's an Australian, Going the Distance, How to Stay Fit for a Lifetime of Ministry. I could spend more time on this, maybe some other occasion. Why are books like that written? They are written because it is true for ministers and pastors, as it is true for all of us, that if we do not look after ourselves, not just physically, but spiritually, if we do not take time to be holy, to quote the old hymn, if we do not step back to be with the Lord, we will eventually run into trouble and we will not be inspired and motivated to serve in the way that God calls us to. It's true. It happens all the time. And the burden of my heart is, let us ensure that that doesn't happen to us. So, elder, committee man, Sunday school teacher, youth club leader, BB leader, girls brigade leader, PW worker, parent and toddler leader, life builder worker, and so on and so forth. We all need to hear this message from Isaiah 6. We all need to see God afresh, to see ourselves afresh, to receive a fresh touch afresh, and then we will be motivated and inspired. George Matheson, the hymn writer. I was thinking about these words just a couple of days ago. They're not on the screen or anything, but think about them just before I finish. This is his testimony in many, many ways, and it's the testimony for all of us. He says this in that hymn, "Make me a captive, Lord. My heart is weak and poor until it master find. It has no spring of action. It varies with the wind. My power is faint and low till I have learned to serve. It wants the needed fire to glow. It wants the breeze to nerve. It cannot drive the world unless itself be driven. Its flag can only be unfurled when thou shalt breathe from heaven." Do you see what he's saying? He's saying what the writers of Scripture are saying, that we will not be in the position to go out and to serve and to drive anything for Christ if we are not driven ourselves by Christ. And the key to that is to wait upon the Lord. And so this morning, as I finish, that is the challenge. For me, like every preacher, I preach first of all to my own heart. That is the key for my ministry. That is the key for your ministry. Wait upon the Lord. And those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Be encouraged by that on this morning of the 1st of September 2013. And be inspired and motivated not to look on the coming term with dread. Oh, I can hardly get through it. No, that's what the devil wants. But to be inspired afresh, because there are many still in our community who are lost and undone without Christ. And who will pray for them and who will bear witness to them if we do not? And there are many who make a Christian profession and yet they are struggling. But the secret lies, as always, in the secret place. So let us be encouraged to take time to be holy.